Hey, good morning. Good to see all of you. There are some seats right in the front row. Come on down. Anybody? Well, all right, great. You can sit next to Mike. It'll be great. A couple quick things before we get into the Word of God. The first is that I don't know if you noticed that the service started late. Anybody notice that? Yeah, weird. Strange. I wonder whose fault that was. Anyway, that was totally my fault. So right once again, you're going to hear me fall on my sword multiple times, just to be honest with you. And so I completely missed the time. I just went long on the last service. And everyone was like, okay, well, I guess we're still going then. So anyway, y'all got in here late because of me. So are we going to stay long? No. But am I true to my word? No. So I have no idea what's going to happen, y'all. So we're gonna figure that one out. Second thing is that we have an art community here at Bridgeway, and every year we give them the theme, and they end up creating art around it. If that is something fascinating to you, every year we put out an anthology that allows all of our artists to kind of submit works that are tied into the theme of the year. If you are more of a visual person, you enjoy art, stuff like that, these are available in the lobby for you to purchase. So after service, you may want to grab one of those. Last thing is that every year we do an end of the year campaign, usually surrounding the concept of taxes, right? So people have some tax write-offs they need to get done before the end of the year. That prompts us to do an end of the year campaign, and we usually have a different theme every year. This year, the theme is multiply. It is all surrounding the concept of sharing our faith in a loving way. What I mean is, if you've ever heard the term evangelism or sharing your faith with someone else, everything about this campaign is getting everyone else to know the love of God. It's about building up the kingdom of God. So half of everything that comes in, we never know what's going to come in. Half of everything that comes in is going to support our internal evangelism efforts. So, for example, we do Love Roseville every year. We get multiple churches together and we all go out in the community. We paint schools. We take care of practical things in the community around us. This next year, we're going to do Project Hope again, which is reaching out to all of our neighbors, our immediate neighbors, and trying to provide them with practical helps so their household would thrive. We do things like Cars and Coffee, the Harvest Party. This is an invitation for everybody to come onto our campus, have a safe environment, be able to attach it with God's house. If those efforts and all the things about sharing your faith matter to you, if that's something that you go, man, God has called me to really support that effort, this would be for you, right? So if you want to take a part in that, you're going to end up going online, bridgeway.church/multiply, and you would be able to contribute there. But I only said half is going to that, yeah? So we got another half. What's the other half gonna go to? It's going to, and they don't know it yet, but it is going to contribute to all these different various churches in the area because they're killing it in areas we don't even have access to. So if we are searching out, if they have different evangelistic efforts and they can reach a segment of our city that we can't, our job is to pour our funds towards the kingdom of God, not the building of Bridgeway, the building of the kingdom of God. Amen? So we get an opportunity to present them with a surprise gift to say, hey, we believe in what you're doing here. And it is not just about us. We are unified, and we need all of us out there really expanding the kingdom of God to move the needle. So if that is something that is exciting for you, anything that you contribute towards that, make sure you put multiply in the memo, because we are very ferocious about checks and balances, accountability. Anything you ever contribute to an earmark fund has to go to that, right? We don't play around with that kind of stuff. All right, that is it. Grab your Bibles, take them out. We're gonna be in the book of Joshua today. If you don't have a Bible, we got one under the seat in front of you. Hopefully that'll help you get there a little bit faster. And we have been walking through a series. We're in part three of a series walking through the book Joshua. And again, it's the sixth book in the Bible. So if you're going to open it up from the front, you're going to go in six books. The Bible is actually a collection of 66 books. This is the sixth book in there. All right. Now, normally I do not do this, but I think it's appropriate for today. And that is, you know how some preachers, when they're super cool, they have you like repeat things after them, right? I've never been cool enough to do that, but I think we're gonna try it. So I need you all to repeat a phrase after me. You ready to go? And we're gonna do this out loud. Ready? Here we go. I need you to repeat this phrase. Bait and switch. That's what I did to you. Okay, so here's what happened. Last week, I was like, you guys gotta bring your friends. I'm gonna be there. We're gonna be talking about one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible, talking about Jericho. No, we're not. Why? Because I didn't read my notes. Okay, here's why. I go back and I was like, man, I can't wait to teach Jericho. That's next week. I'm sitting there prepping my stuff, and I was like, oh, shoot, what did I say? And sure enough, I grabbed this passage. This passage has circumcision. And I was like, come on. What am I? Well, like I told everybody, bring your friends. Okay. Okay, that's called a bait and switch. I did not mean to lie. That was totally accidental. I'm here. That half is true. But now, once again, totally untrustworthy. I do not know what I'm doing, clearly. So next week, I'm pretty sure, but whatever. I'm pretty sure next week's Jericho. But anyway, what I found out is that in between Rahab's story in Jericho and the taking of Jericho, there are all these critical elements of the nation of Israel. That's what we're gonna be talking about today. And I can tell you this, without exaggeration, I believe the message that God has for you today will change the trajectory of your life. I truly believe that the concept he lays out in scripture will change everything. Some of us, it will create a brand new life right here today. I'm excited to get into it along with you. So let's start with this concept. We serve a God of more. And what I mean by that is no matter who you are, if you were just invited here, you've never been a part of church before, maybe you've never been around the idea that God wants a relationship with you, here's what I'm here to tell you. Everything you've experienced in life, there is more to it. When you connect in with God, everything changes, everything opens up. If you've been walking with the Lord, let's say you've been walking with the Lord longer than I've been alive, God has more for you. Now, when I tell you he has more for you, I don't mean because we deserve more. Quite frankly, I think some of us are yahoos, amen? However, he has more because he can't otherwise. We serve an infinite God. We serve a God that is beyond, it is unfathomable, all the things that God has for us. He is so far above what we can imagine. For the rest of eternity, we're gonna go, wow, I didn't know that about you. He is so beautiful, magnificent, majestic, and beyond. All of your life, he has more for you. You may be content with what you got. You may be content with where you're at in life, but he may be whispering, you know what, kid, as beautiful as things are, there is more for you. So, couple questions to get us rolling. One of them is this. Are you okay with where you're at? Second question, should you be okay with where you're at, right? Because some of us are like, yep, I'm good. And the Lord's like, well, should you be? You know what I mean? Like, I got a couple things to work on with you, right? And so what if God did have something more for you and you saw the vision for it, but it came at a cost? What if that cost was pretty intense? What if it meant leaving something familiar to go into risk with the Lord? Would you be willing to do that? I want to cast a vision for you of what is possible. This is going to matter most to those of you that are brand new to Christianity, especially those who have not yet have a relationship with God. Here's a vision. If we are Christians, when we become Christians, if we're understanding it properly, there are certain things that change qualitatively in our lives. Here's what I mean. For a Christian, there is no dread of the future. Here's what I mean. For everyone else in the world, they have to face the fact that at some point they're going to die. They don't know where it's gonna go. They don't know how it's gonna go. A Christian knows how it's going to go. Now, we may be nervous about dying, right? So somebody's like, hey, pastor, I gotta be honest, a little nervous about dying. I'm like, yeah, me too, I've never done it before. But there's not a dread, meaning that you know that God is real, and in God's dimension, it is good, and whatever is happening, Jesus Christ is saving us so we can go to the better. Does that make sense? So for a Christian, future has no dread. Second thing that is true for a Christian, you never have to perform for value or love. God says that you are valuable because you contain his image. He says that you are valuable because he put his Holy Spirit inside of you. He says that you are loved because he chose to love you before you even knew he existed. If you enter into a coma for the rest of your life and you cannot be productive for society, he still loves you maximum. Therefore, you never have to perform for his love. Do you understand? That is the life of a Christian. For a Christian, your world, your life, what you do instantly has purpose and meaning. Why? Because God works through you. What that means is all your talents, all your abilities are all redeemed, and they are now used for divine appointments. For every Christian, whatever you are doing outside in the name of God, and even when you're not clued in, he is operating through you, and it has eternal value. Lastly, when Jesus Christ was here on earth during his 3-year ministry as a human being, he operated based on the revelation of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, the exact same stuff that we operate on today, which means for a Christian, everywhere you go, you do Jesus stuff. And Jesus stuff is the most important stuff on the planet. Understand, whether or not you walked in here with that identity, you walked in here with that understanding, you walked in here with that passion, this is what I mean by more. God has more for you. The fill in the blank on the sheet in front of you is this: God wants to prepare you for something greater. God wants to prepare you for something greater. As I said, we're in the book of Joshua. Would you turn there with me? It's page 179 in the Bible under the seat in front of you, 179. Last time we were together, I told you the story of a Gentile, non-Jewish woman, a prostitute, that when the spies were trying to figure out the first city that Israel was gonna have to take, they took refuge in her house. Her testimony of the goodness and power of God raised their spirits and allowed them, she even helped them escape out of her house and get back to the nation of Israel safely. And we find out throughout history, she was integrated into the Jewish people. Now, why does that matter? Because that message reminded you it doesn't matter where you've come from, only where you're going. So many of us are like, yeah, but our background, yeah, I used to do this, yeah, I used to be this. You know what? There is no one that God cannot use. There is no one that God cannot redeem. There is nothing that has ever happened in your life that God does not know how to transform into something that is beautiful for him. I can encourage you on this one. Even the stuff that used to make you shudder can even be used in ministry. This is the power of God. Let's go ahead and turn there. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. I'm gonna read a little bit, and then we're gonna talk about it. It helps a lot to read along with me so that you'll know at home. If you wanna read ahead, you can do that as well. Here we go. Then Joshua, the new leader of Israel, took over for Moses. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from their camp. Amen? Amen. Yeah, the name of the camp, I don't know. I can't seem to find it. It's right here in front of me. And they came to the Jordan River, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your God being carried by the priests, you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way that we are going to travel, for you have never crossed the river here before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate, get yourselves ready, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What a beautiful way to start the morning, yeah? Hey, everybody, get up. Here we go. We're about to move out. For the first time, we get a chance to enter into the promised land. We've been hearing about this for 40 years. Our parents talked about it. Everybody talks about it. We got out of Israel for a purpose. We've always been talked about the promised land. We're going to do that. We're going to go there today. Everybody get ready to meet with God. He is about to do a miracle in your midst. And that's awesome. Sounds super great. So a couple things, let us just get on the same page about. Remember, the stuff in the Bible is historical. The stuff in the Bible happened in a very real place with very real people. So we're going to talk about it for a moment. A lot of this centers around the River Jordan. The Jordan River begins, and it is still a very major river in the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, the boundary line of the West Bank Palestinian side and the Israeli side actually is the Jordan River. It's very, very important. It flows from the north down to the south. It starts at a place near the Syrian-Lebanon border. It starts at a place called Mount Hermon. There's a natural spring there. It flows down 124 miles and empties out into the Dead Sea. Some areas it's very narrow, some areas it's very broad. We all know the Jordan River, most famous for that is where John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ in the Jordan River. Some seasons, like the season we're talking about right now, the river will overflow its banks and it will be swelled with all the runoff that is coming through. So it's a very significant river. Joshua says to all the people, everybody, we're about to move out. You know how we do. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant goes, we're going there. In other words, for the last 40 years, we've been organized into tribes, into teams, into families, into groups. We all know how we march. You know, you're first, you're next, you're next. They're moving 2 million people at a time. This is a massive group. He said, all right, so the Ark of the Covenant will go before us. What's the Ark of the Covenant? Right? Some of us were raised on the Bible. Some were raised by Indiana Jones. Same box. Okay? So, y'all know what it is. Okay? So, it's an acacia wood box, and it's overlaid with gold. It's a beautiful, beautiful box, and it ended up having on the lid, the lid's like massive gold on the lid, very ornate. It ends up having cherubim or angelic wings stretching out towards each other. One is facing this way, one's facing that way. The box is the representation of the presence of God. Now, again, we are not magicians. We don't believe in amulets and stuff like that. God is not contained in the box, right? It represents that God is great and mighty and he's with us. It gives them a chance to have a direction to look when they're trying to talk with God. Inside that box are three important items. In your mind, this is like a quiz. Do you know what's inside that box, right? 10 commandments, a jar of manna, supernatural stuff that they would pick up off the ground, right? And they would make bread out of it. And what? Aaron's staff. The whole reason that Moses' brother Aaron's family line are the priests of Israel is because God made an indicator by budding a staff. That staff that says he's high priest is inside that box. He said, all right, everybody, we're gonna follow the box. And this is super important because all of us at some point need to reorient our paradigm that God must always go first. Okay, now in Israel, they would have his presence go out ahead of them. This is very important. It does not make any sense to go out and do ministry in the name of God if we're not gonna pray first. Because what are we doing? We're basically praying and saying, Lord, you know best, prepare the way, we'll go after you. You never wanna run ahead of God, is that true? All right, so the box is out there. Did he not say, guys, don't go near it? Y'all remember this? He's like, I need you to stay, how far back? Somebody said 2,000 cubits. What the heck is a cubit? 3,000 feet. Why in the world would you need to stay 3,000 feet away from a box, right? Well, if you saw the movie, if you touch it, your face will melt off. But that is not biblically accurate. That's Hollywood. Will you die? Yep. So here's the deal. Don't touch the box. And it's funny because when you have 2 million people walking around it, man, have you ever tried to move even a group of kids, like six of them? And you're like, they are all over the place. I cannot contain these people. I feel like the Lord looked down at the Jews and was like, we're gonna need 3,000 feet. You know what I mean? Like, you guys, I do not trust any of you. Someone's gonna bump into the box, right? So first of all, it was a span so that no one would touch the box accidentally. But the more important reason is that God needed to be center and everyone needed to be able to see it. If you have everybody crowded up near it, you can only see the back of somebody's head, the side of their head. God was like, listen, I'm doing a work here. Keep me in vision and watch what I do. That's the point of the story. All right, here we go. Verse 6. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they picked it up and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan River, I want you to walk in and stand still in the river. Verse 13, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the river will be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. I'm sorry, what's gonna happen? Yeah, so the priests are gonna walk into the river. And when they get where they need to be, the water's gonna shut off. Okay, that is super radical, super weird. Like, has anyone ever heard of water parting? Right? You're like, I feel like I've heard this before. 40 years prior, one of the greatest miracles of all time was what? The parting of the Red Sea. Do you remember that? Moses raises up his staff, boom, it parts. The water is standing up, and Israel walks through on what? Dry ground. When they're all through, the enemy tries to pursue through it, their wheels get stuck, the water rushes over them, and they drown. This is how God got them free from the Egyptian Empire. It's one of the greatest stories of all time, and God is gonna do it again. He's going to stop water from flowing. Why would he duplicate a miracle? Is it that we couldn't think of another one? No, it's because Israel was about to walk into their most difficult challenge in the existence of their lifetime. They would have to take the conquest of the promised land, and they needed to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They needed to know that just because they didn't have Moses doesn't mean God's not present. God has always been their leader. Leaders may come and leaders may go, but who is their true king? That would be God. Therefore, he was saying, listen, I can do it with Moses, I can do it with Joshua, but understand, I'm right with you. This is a very, very important story. Here's the other thing that I thought was interesting. What's the plan? Hey, priests, I need you to walk into the middle of the river. In my opinion, there was immediate pushback, right? Because you have to remember, the priest didn't hear from God, Joshua heard from God. So he's like, hey guys, God gave me a plan. They're like, I don't mean to be disrespectful, that's a dumb plan. Because here's the deal, I don't know if you knew it, but the box is super important. And I know the four guys that are gonna carry it, and one of them's named Bernard, he is not a sure-footed man. And if Bernard drops that box into the river, everybody's gonna be upset. You understand what I'm talking about? Because if it's swelling its banks, it probably has a pretty steady what? Current. And what, they're all gonna walk the most important box into the middle of the river and that's not gonna be a problem? Man, that's awfully risky. What if something goes wrong? Don't you think that God could have done it a different way? Don't you think he could have shut the water off and then had them walk in, right? You're like, God, why didn't you do that? Isn't it funny, every time we have a prayer request, we also give God a plan on how it should be carried out. Have you noticed that? God, I don't know if you understood this, but I have cancer. And he's like, what? And then you're like, so I need healing, but I need it miraculously. And I would like to have it where I don't have any discomfort. And I don't mean to be weird or anything, but it would be super awesome if you would do it now. And if you do not, Lord, I just need to make sure that, I don't know if you've seen my spreadsheet, but this is how I would like you to handle it, right? We always have this big plan. God, do it like this. How many times does he do it the way you designed it? Probably zero, right? And he always ends up making it a slightly more difficult than whatever process you came up with, yeah? And you kind of ask the question, why? Why did he make them walk into the water, right? Because you have to get in the water before the miracle happened. That's a bummer. It means it's risky. Oh, interesting, God always demands risk. Why? Because faith needs to be a part of the scenario. What's faith? Kids, do you trust me? Yeah, I trust you. What are you talking about? We always say we trust God until we get in a jam, right? If I was to ask you, hey, check the box, do you trust God or not trust God? You would always say, I trust God. Okay, cool, now you're gonna lose your job and your house. Do you trust God? You understand what I'm saying? Like now all of a sudden we're like, oh shoot, I don't know about now. He's like, that's my point, right? You keep saying it, but I don't know if you trust me. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna walk into the water, then I'll do the miracle. Why is faith so important? Because if God does a miracle without the element of faith, it's just a strange occurrence. If faith is involved, it's a relationship builder. God is not so interested in the outcome as he is with his relationship with you. Does that make sense? All right, let's keep going forward. So anyway, it happened just as God said. The priests go walking in and the water shuts off. Well, they end up finding out later if they have the city right, it was 19 miles upstream. The water shut off. And these guys are standing there, boom, it dries out. Everybody's like, whoa. And the priest stayed in the middle of the river while everybody crossed over, right? Everybody got to cross over on dry ground. Now, quick question. How did God do that miracle, right? Because here's what I always like to picture every miracle that goes like this. I like to picture that angels, right? One of them has like a Captain America suit. And anyway, they're like, we're going in. And they go into the middle of the water and they hold their shield. You know what I'm talking about? And it stops the water and the water's beating against the angels and they're all holding it back and it's really dramatic. Anyway, did God do it that way? Or was it a landslide? You're like, what? Well, here's what's interesting. Historically, the Jordan River has stopped flowing many times. Why? Landslides. The bank gives way, water pours in, and it shuts the water off. If it shuts the water off up here, it's gonna dry out the rest of it, and everyone's gonna go, dude, where the heck the water go? Then either the water naturally pummels against it and breaks free, or somebody gets in there and breaks away the new dam, and it begins to flow again. Why is this important? Because I can guarantee you this. There's a bunch of people that wanna explain away this miracle, right? Because that's what we tend to do. Those of us, like me, that are analytical, we immediately go, well, wait a second, if it was a landslide, is that really a miracle, right? Because that's how we tend to assess miracles. We start looking around and we start going, yeah, well, that could have kind of happened like this. What are you trying to do, right? Well, I'm just being analytical, I'm just being honest. Okay, there's a big difference between being skeptical and cynical, right? Because let's say this is how the miracle works. God tends to do most of his miracles within our universe using regular stuff. So you go back and you go, yeah, that person said their back was healed. Their back was probably gonna be fine anyway. Huh, interesting how you think of it that way. How about looking through this lens? They had 2 million people waiting and they were gonna walk into the middle of the river. I would guess they have roughly a 15-minute window for the water to shut off. Does anybody not see that that's odd timing? I don't care if it's a landslide or what it is. Is it not strange that the minute they walk in after God said, walk in, the water shut off? See, a lot of miracles are miracles of timing. You look at your life and you're like, that's a weird coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Don't you think the timing is highly suspect? Well, yeah, but it could have been like, you're right. I think God did probably do it like that, but he did it by his own hand at the right exact time, and that's called a miracle. Does that make sense? All right, let's keep moving forward. So, sure enough, God ends up telling him, he's like, all right, while we got the water shut off, I need you to grab 12 guys, one from every tribe of Israel. I want their representative to go in, grab a big old mega rock, put it on his shoulder, and take it to your camp. Set up an altar memorial. They're like, okay. What's that all about? Anyway, while we have the water shut off, I want us to make another one of those altar memorials in the riverbed while it's shut off. Because during low times in the rest of the years to come, when the water goes low, this memorial rises up out of the water. And everyone's like, dude, that's weird. Why is there a big old rock column in the middle of the river? He said, yeah, that's exactly why. I want you to set up a memorial of this day. And I want you to set up a memorial in the river so that everyone that passes by goes, that's weird, what's that for? And you tell them the story. Here's my problem, kids, he would say. Your memories are sketch, right? Man, some of y'all had a miracle and you even forgot what it felt like. Some of you have forgotten the joy of your salvation. Some of you have forgotten what it's like to get saved. So your memories are not great. You got too many distractions, too many things coming in your mind. I need a tangible representation so you never forget that I am the God of miracles. And when your children ask, you tell them, my God does miracles. So interesting, so many of us have this weird perspective that we're like, well, I don't wanna shove my religion on my kids and they can kind of figure it out and develop it on their own. What a disservice. I didn't say you had to shove it down their throat. I didn't say you had to force them to go to church. I said you just need to tell your testimony. If God is true for you, tell your kids, because if they have to grow up without God and they only find him at 30, they just missed out on 30 years. When their parents could have said, listen, kid, I'm not telling you everything about you, but I'm gonna tell you God is real. He's impacted my life. He's done miraculous things in me, and I just need you to know that. Does that make sense? We have a mandate to tell the next generation that God is real and God is good. Pick it up in chapter 5, verse 2. This is the real, yeah, amen, praise God. Chapter 5, verse 2 is why you actually came. Here we go. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. Which is funny because after that first phrase, the guy's like, a second time? How would that work? Anyway, so Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is the reason why he did so. Verse 5, though all the people who came out of Egypt had already been circumcised, all the people born in the last 40 years in the wilderness had not. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second, real fast. Circumcision, removal of foreskin from the penis. You're like, thank you, doctor. In religiously, it means that for the Jews, there was a physical mark, a physical sign of the men of Israel that they were Jews. Now, the Egyptians also did circumcision, but they did it for hygiene reasons. So it wasn't unheard of. But for God, he said, I want a mark, a physical representation that you are on my team and you're not like everybody else. All the people groups they're about to interact with in their new home area are uncircumcised. That makes a very different statement. God didn't want them intermixing. That's why there was a major sign in that area, right? So all of this is very important about the contract and covenant that Israel had with God. So this is a momentous occasion. Now, we finish up by this. When we need to go into the new promised land, new thing, there are some things that need to be left behind. There are some things that need to be cut away. That's a visceral reminder. So let me ask you this. What are you concerned with giving up in order to walk with God in a new way? Let's say, for example, you're not a Christian and you haven't wanted to become a Christian. What's the hang up? The first thing that God's ever gonna ask you to give up may be the problem, and that is this, pride. Yep. If you come to God and you need a savior, you have to admit you're not one. You have to admit you're not God. And for some of us, our whole world revolves around us, and we can't imagine anyone being in control of us but us. And God said, I need you to get your hands off of it. I need you to bow down before me and let me do my job. I'm gonna transform you and make you into the person I built you to be, not who you built you to be. who I built you to be. Maybe for some of us, the biggest challenge is letting go of our reputation. Right? Oh, you're the tough guy, right? Yeah, I'm the angry guy. I'm the self-sustaining guy. I'm the guy that pulled myself up by my bootstraps. All my family respects how hard I work. I'm this guy. I'm self-sustaining. First of all, let me give you a real quick hint. You didn't build your life. How dare you? I worked hard for that. You didn't have an aneurysm because God didn't let the aneurysm happen. So don't tell me you're in control of what you can work and when you can't work. He's in control of that. Did you work hard with what you had? Yes, you did. But are you in control of what you had? No, you are not. But that reputation, this whole, I'm not gonna become one of those soft, wimpy Christians. I'm not gonna become one of those, oh, what, I'm gonna raise my hand. What, am I now gonna be a Bible-carrying person? Is that what you're concerned about? Right? Maybe your concern is, you know, I've always been the gossip queen. Everybody comes to me and, all my girlfriends come up and they're like, oh, what's going on? And I'm the one that always knows everything about everybody. And God says, you know that's holding you back, right? Maybe it's another one. Oh, I'm always the temptress. I'm trying to, everybody's nervous about their husbands being around me. Is that your identity? Because it's holding you back. So I don't know what it is, but there's something in your life right now that you're aware of that God says, kid, there's better. But it means you have to let this go. Whatever that is, that's what we're gonna be praying about, yeah? The story ends where they get to celebrate the Passover in the new land. That's a big deal for the Jewish people. It meant we're finally here after 40 years. They got to eat the fruit of the land. And in that moment, manna stopped, just like that. No more need for manna when you can now work for the food that you're gonna get. Everything began to be new. They lost the old manna, but they had a new opportunity. Was it harder? Yeah, but it was more meaningful. They left behind their old wandering life. Now they were ready to be conquerors. Okay. Are you ready to change? That's what we're gonna pray about. Can I have the prayer team come on up here? Let's close it out. I got two people I'm gonna pray for. Number one is if you have never said yes to God and allowed him to rescue you, allowed what Jesus did on the cross to become true for you, been forgiven of your sins, connected with God, become a child of God. If that has never happened, we're gonna pray for you right now. The other prayer is that there's a lot of us that are Christians and God's highlighting a part in our life and saying, if you could just let that go, I got something else for you. We're gonna pray about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right here in this holy moment, we lift up our lives to you. And God, there's some of us right now that have never had a chance to say yes to you. For some reason today, it just seems right. We don't wanna live on our own anymore. We don't wanna ever have that fear that we're alone forever. We want you. We did our best with our lives, but there's still a lot of damage that we've caused. And we'd like to do it your way. So we surrender to you. If that is you, if you would like to surrender to the Lord today and receive him, would you just raise your hand up? You can put it right back down. Yeah, who else? Okay, right, let's pray. Lord, we lift our hand up because Pastor's talking about me. I want everything you did, Jesus. I want to give my life over to you. I need you to wash away everything that is yuck in my life. You told me that, Jesus, that stuff separated me. I don't want to be separate anymore. I want to be your child. I want to be precious in your sight in a deeper way. I want to walk with you. I want everything you built me to be to come alive. So God, I lay my life down before you. You are the Savior. I am not. You're my hero. You're the King. I'm not. So I give my life to you today. Rescue me, heal me, and save me. God, the rest of us, you have been shining a light and saying, hey, what about that? right now, we begin to lift that up to you. We want everything you have for us. We don't want to settle for polluted water if you have fresh water for us. So God, may we let go of that which is less to go to the more. If you want that prayer right now, just raise your hand up to the Lord. We're gonna pray. Yep. All right, a bunch of us. Let's pray. So Lord, we say yes to your more. We say yes to letting go. God, help us to get out of our comfort zone. Help us to see the vision of why it is worth giving up what we are used to for the greater. So Lord, whether or not that is toxic relationships, whether or not that is, Lord, an addiction or it's a habit or it's an identity, whatever it is that is standing between us and you, we ask that you would remove it and give us the courage to walk into the new. God, we are trying to be everything that you built us to be. And God, we keep having things in the way. We don't want them in the way anymore. We surrender them to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful weekend.